We're still on kingdom. But today we're going to talk about something that helps personally with kingdom. Kingdom is a lot about two or more gathered together. There I am in your midst. Kingdom is about two on earth agreeing as touching things. Kingdom is the mature church. And so today I want to just go back and emphasize something the Lord taught about connection with the Father. Because kingdom is how you walk connected to the Lord and to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. Kingdom is walking a lot like Jesus. He'd say, I can see what my Father's doing. I can hear what he's saying. Those are the things I do. I don't do them on my own. The Father does the works. And kingdom is when you have connection to the king, but kingdom is more than you and the king. Kingdom is the nation, the body, the church, the fullness of everything, all in all. And so we're going to go back to the scriptures on forgiveness. We're going to be in Matthew, but we're going to start in Timothy. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy. A nation that cannot be shaken. Actually, the way Hebrews puts it, is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The nation of Israel was the first example of a kingdom that could not be shaken when connected to the king and could be taken apart and dispersed like ashes to ashes and dust to dust when not rightly related to the king, when walking in disobedience. Did you get my scripture up there yet? Anyway. Second Timothy 3. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Hebrews says, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. We talked last week about Luke 6:46. Jesus said, you call me Lord, Lord. There are some who do what I say and some who don't. Some can't be shaken. Some can be shaken. Now they're all calling him Lord, Lord. But some are in the kingdom and some are not. The ones who hear and do. Isaiah 1 says, if you're willing and obedient, we can talk together. And if not, you get devoured, not by the Lord, by the sword. Your kingdom falls apart. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. He's not the only one to say it. Hebrews says it. Jesus says it. Isaiah says it. Moses says it. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving. Here's one to underline. Irreconcilable. That's where forgiveness is going to come in. Irreconcilable. Malicious gossips. Not me. I'm a really nice, sweet gossip. Malicious gossips. without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. That's the times we're living in. Probably recognize every one of those characteristics in your neighbors and family. Extended family. Now, Matthew 6. Let's start in verse 7. Well, you got to get your pencil out by the time we get to 14. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Read this in the context of Luke 18, which we looked at on Tuesday. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. We can all read this together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, verse 14 is very close to verse 13. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. It's a ticket in. Irreconcilable. Irreconcilable is an indicator you haven't forgiven. Holding a grudge, holding bitterness, means you're not forgiven. Did that mean Jesus didn't pay for your sins? Oh, he paid for them. And if he paid for them, everybody's going to heaven. No, he paid for them. But not everybody's going to heaven. Not everybody will receive him as Lord and Savior. Lord is for kingdom, Savior's for you to get your citizenship in heaven. I know somebody who's dead now, had a terrible time, a really terrible time, forgiving the U.S. president. He's a Manitoban. The president at that time, name was Bush. Obviously, as you remember back, a very evil man. Went to marches in Washington from here to protest this terrible president. He's dead now. You don't get to choose a list of who you forgive and who you don't forgive. You don't get to choose a list of other human beings that you can put on your judgment list and the rest go to God's judgment list. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'll repay. But forgiveness is your way of operating with the one who paid for every transgression and every iniquity. Jesus is the one who comes in to take away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Remember that from the old days? It's right. And you want to throw it back in his face. Not a good relationship building thing. He did it because God asked him to do it. The Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And he says, I'm teaching you how to pray to receive that life. And the one thing I want to emphasize when it's over is that you need to be forgiving. And if you don't forgive, the Father's not forgiving you. Now you can believe on the Lord Jesus. I don't know whether you'll get to heaven or not. I would think maybe you would. But you're not forgiven for all those attitudes towards others. He always talks about forgiveness in relation to having your prayers answered, just like Mark 11. All things for which you pray and ask, believe you have received. And you shall have them. But when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive. If you want the Father to hear these prayers, forgive. Who are you unforgiving to? Well, those that you've been offended by, that you've been wronged by. Is there anybody here that's never been wronged by anybody? You don't have to be forgiving to people who've always treated you well, always done what you wanted, always given you big gifts on your birthday, always lent you their car or their phone or their whatever you wanted to get from them. You don't have any grudges against them, if you ever found someone like that. But it's the one who treated you bad. Well, they treated you bad. But when you go to the altar, if you have anything against anyone, not if you've done anything wrong, that's repentance. It's when someone else has done you wrong, that's forgiveness. It doesn't bother you that someone else did you wrong. How can it not bother you? You're living at another level. It's called Christianity. You're living at a spiritual level. You're born of the Spirit, not of the flesh. You're born at a level that no longer worries about all those things in Timothy. You're working on a level that rejoices in the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the love of the Father, and you just want someone else to get some of it because you can get an unlimited supply. Now, Matthew 18, verse 23. We can start at 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? This is a burning question for Peter. He does it here, he does it in Luke 17. Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times. times 7. For this reason, you know what 70 represents? 70 is the number of kingdom, of nation, of inclusion. 70 means it is not a select few. It means everything, everyone. When Moses and Aaron were called up to Mount Sinai, they were called up as a nation, and they took 70 elders with them. Remember that in Exodus? Because that represented the nation. 70 times 7. What you think individually times everything, times the world, times everyone in the country. 70 times 7. For this reason, the kingdom, 70, may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. This is talking about the king. The comparison is to the kingdom and the operation of the kingdom. Who wished to settle accounts with his slaves? He wanted to hand out rewards. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground, prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." And the lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. He was free. He didn't give him time. He gave him 0 on the account. Forgave him the debt. There are people who are going to God saying, "Lord, I'm going to stop being stupid. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to fix all these things. I'm going to fix my addiction issues, my temper issues, my lying issues, my gossip, irreconcilable haters of good, brutal issues. Just give me a little time. I'll get it all fixed." And he says, "It's done. It's done. Get in the kingdom." He felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him. Not 10,000 talents, 100 denarii. Nothing versus everything. Seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So this fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." This is a repayable debt. Take about 3 months. A denarii is a day's wage. A talent is 3 years' wages. "Have patience with me and I'll repay you." But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. And then summoning him, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? See, what Jesus is saying is, if I'm paying for all your sins, and you don't see that, the difference between you going to hell and you being invited into heaven, if I'm paying for all your sins, and you don't see that as more important than that little squabble between you and somebody else. You haven't got it. You don't have my idea, my way. And his Lord moved with anger. Up further, he said he was moved with compassion. Now the recipient of the compassion's actions have brought him to be moved with anger. Some important things going on here. There's a king in charge of this kingdom. He holds the power and the authority to judge. His actions will be executed. Two, there are people in the kingdom. There is a kingdom that can't be shaken. You want to get into that kingdom. You want to be one of the people in that kingdom. Two, the people in the kingdom can determine and will determine their results from the kingdom, their blessing received in the kingdom, their level of inclusion and elevation and promotion within the kingdom. Remember the parable of the talents. You interact with the king and the kingdom. The fellow servant. And the Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father, just so you get this clear, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Now that's kind of a heavy, but it's a reality. You don't like Jesus' words? You want to form another church? You want to get another gospel? Find another God that'll make it good for you. This is Jesus talking about your heavenly Father. He does have some expectation. He does have some requirement. He's been moved with compassion. Don't bring him to anger in the kingdom. And kingdom is how you interact with the fellow servant. Kingdom is the mature church. It's the same king's servant, right? So, but it's not just a heavy requirement. It is a message of tremendous potential. And you go back. Come, let us reason together. Isaiah 1. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they shall be white as wool. And then he says, if you are willing and obedient, or if you consent and obey, depending on your translation, you will eat the good of the land. The nation possesses the land. The people possess the country. and you'll be the head and not the tail, and you'll be over and not under, and you'll be only above and never below. You'll be the lender, not the borrower. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the country. You will seek to hear me and obey me, and the blessings will pursue you, and they'll catch you. They'll overtake you. But forgive your brother from your heart. Otherwise, you are eating at my kingdom. And this kingdom's going to grow one way or another. And you determine what your position is in the kingdom. And you determine whether you'll be willing or unwilling, whether you'll be reconcilable or irreconcilable, whether you'll be a hater of good or a lover of God, whether you'll be treacherous and evil, whether you'll be part of the perilous times, or whether you'll be unable to be touched in a kingdom that can't be shaken, dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty, where no plague or pestilence, no weapon, no accusation that's formed can touch you. There's a spiritual level in the kingdom that makes you unassailable. And the more you pursue the kingdom, the more you'll find it. But not only that, what everybody else was pursuing will be added unto you. That's not Deuteronomy 28, that's Matthew 6. That's Matthew 6. It takes a lot of maturing for the average Christian to get to where they chase the kingdom and the money chases them. It takes a lot of maturing. Listening to a guy, he worked in a bank, and he asked for Fridays off so he could go and pray. He wanted to pray on Fridays, and his boss was a Christian, said, okay, you can do that. So he started to pray on Fridays, and after a while he went back and said, okay, I want 3 months off. So his boss let him go. And he never came back in 3 months. They wanted him back, but they didn't want to go back. Because in that 3 months, he began to get closer and closer to the kingdom. He just spent time with Jesus. They would recognize the 12 apostles because they'd spent time with Jesus. They'd spent time with Jesus. And he said, it was interesting because I quit the job. And he began just to be a little podunk. He wasn't even in North America. Didn't have the opportunities to get into some big school or big ministry. But he began seeking the Lord and looking for the kingdom, looking for the Lord's people, looking for the Lord's people that knew the Lord. You know what Paul says? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? He saw the Lord after the Lord was gone. But he saw the Lord. Are there not the signs of an apostle in my ministry? This guy said, one day he was praying in his hotel room just to worship God, and he didn't have money for dinner, and he turned around and the money for dinner was on the bed. He was alone. It was pursuing him. So he said, here's some ways to approach God and get closer to him, to see the Lord and hear him, but seeing him is better, he said. He says, be humble and go after him. Make him a priority and don't let it become an arrogance in you. For he gives grace to the humble. And he said something else that's interesting. He said, really what you'll end up finding is that you are more able to express the love of the Lord Jesus. The more you get close to him, the more you realize he just loves you. And you'll start to love other people. And love will become a foundation. What is the kingdom commandment? You know, Jesus is leaving. A few months before, he says to the rich young man, you know the commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and strength and soul and might. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he's leaving and he says to the apostles, a new commandment I give to you. He's opening the church age. How do you open the church age? Go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. A new commandment I give you. Love one another. Especially do good to all the brethren, Paul says. As I have loved you. He says, the more you get close to Jesus, you start to realize how much he loved you and gave himself for you. And the forgiveness of others and the love for others becomes easy. And it flows with a power that the world is running after and can't get. Every provision, life, and godliness. Life and godliness. First checkpoint, you get to know somebody when you talk with them. My sheep hear my voice. Well, if you want to pray and know that God's hearing you, tick off this one first. I forgive everybody. As I have been forgiven. Then he hears you. I forgive everybody just as I have been forgiven. Is that easy? Absolutely. It's very easy. It's hard for the flesh. But you aren't of the flesh anymore. You're born of the Spirit. You are someone who walks with the power of the creation within him. You're someone who walks with the helper who was sent specifically to guide you and strengthen you and teach you and reveal to you and empower you and quicken you. Don't grieve him or quench him. Do you think unforgiveness grieves him or quenches him? So, I've gone a few minutes too long. Forgive me. Oh, Sigmar says I can go another 4 minutes. No, we want time for prayer today. We want time for prayer. There is something out here, right here in Manitoba, this part of Manitoba, there's something out here that is better than sliced bread. It's called the kingdom. It'll take care of everything as you walk on the face of this earth. Everything. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. And the life is designed that you might have it and have it more abundantly. It's called the kingdom. Why do we go to church? How many remember any of the 13 reasons we go to church? We'll go over them again on Tuesday. Does anybody remember any? What was number one? We go to church to worship corporately. That's why we go. Because we worship personally, but the kingdom worships corporately. They will get together and they will worship as they walk around Jericho. They will get together. They send out the worshipers in front of the Ark of the Covenant. There is something called the kingdom. It's here. It needs to be formed in you. It needs to be established in you. But even more than that, you need to be established in it. And if you are established in it, it doesn't matter what the world says or what the circumstances look like. You have a resource and a strength and a help that the world can only dream of, that the world plays politics to get to. The man I told you about, who died hating George Bush with all that bitterness and irreconcilability, was someone who counted himself a Christian. I'm not his judge, I don't know, but he counted himself a Christian. We got time for prayer. If you don't have the whole